All right, let's turn our Bibles tonight, the book of Proverbs. We're back in the Proverbs, chapter 14. And we began last week with this one and didn't get too far. No, we got pretty mostly there. And so I want to look at this. We're going to go through some of the things at the beginning we went through last week, and then we'll get to the new material at the end. Chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish pluck it down with her hands." So we talked about number one is the woman, and what every wise woman does is build her house. That's what she does. She builds it, and that means that women are meant to be carpenters, right? We talked about that last week. Women are carpenters. No. It means to build her house is referring to building her family, right? It's to make that part of the home, that family, is going to build it and build it up and build up the family in that way. B, the wise woman invests in the building of a home. To have a good home and a good home life, whether it's just with no matter who's there, it takes some investment, right? It takes some investment of work, right? It takes some investment of time and labor. It takes an investment of patience and definitely long suffering, right? Amen. It takes some all these kind of things to build that. So a wise woman invests in it. So her interest, her role, her desire are all centered on building a home. This is what the wise woman does. And that would certainly involve a desire to raise children. And I mentioned this last week, not just to produce children, but to raise children. I don't think it's an accident that our society as a nation have pushed for daycares, preschools. Now these daycares and preschools are well subsidized. We've began pushing the children into these things more and more and more, and it's I don't know that it's a, I think I mentioned this last week. If I didn't, I should have. But, my girls have worked with these daycares for some time. And you go in there and the mother will, sometimes the mother doesn't even bring them. But somebody, the kid will get there early in the morning. Some of these places, they're still feeding them breakfast there. Right? So they get there, they're there all day, and some of them won't pick up their kids until 5:30. And we're talking about, one-year-old, 1 and 2-year-old kids, and so by the time they get them, you get a 1 or 2-year-old kid, 3-year-old, whatever, you get them home at 5:30, 6 o'clock, after the mom's worked the full day. I'm just going to say this, she ain't got much time, she ain't got much energy left to invest. That's just... We're not talking about what she can, we're not talking about what she should do. We're talking about what she can do at that point, right? And here she is, and she's flat wore out, and so you spend hardly any time with the kid, and then there's not raising. There's a desire, and I understand there's some situations. I do understand there's situations, because right away people see, for me even saying this can already be like, I can't believe you'd say that. People say, this is, it becomes this thing. You say, well, I know people, they have to. I'm not trying to make a debate for every kind of situation. What I'm saying is just this. All of my point in mentioning this part is that the wise woman desires to build her home. She builds her home, and part of that is with the wanting to raise the children, not just wanting to produce them. The book of Proverbs, and we talked about this last week again, see, the book of Proverbs refers to wisdom in the feminine. Wisdom is personified as a woman. So, and Proverbs even culminates there with a mother teaching her son, and we can find that. We're not going to turn there, but over in Proverbs 31:1, it ends with that she's teaching her son. So, listen, God has intended all along for mothers to have a very, very proactive role in even the teaching and training. And so sometimes we think, well, we can kind of get a little mixed up. So, well, the dads, the men are to be the leaders of the home, right? Is that right? Yeah, certainly that's true. So it doesn't mean that because, there's one leader, the others kind of relegate themselves to just doing nothing. No, to the contrary, it says constantly the scripture will talk, the Proverbs will talk about following the command of thy father and the law of thy mother. So there's this, all along there was meant to be this role of teaching and being a part of that. So number two, children will see wisdom first from their mothers, right? Mom's the first one. She's the first face they know, the first voice they hear. The baby, listen, a baby knows a mother's touch, and, I've seen, y'all have seen this where a baby is crying, and then the mother comes in and picks up the baby, and it's like almost like an off switch. It's like somebody else, I'll hold him like you're holding him. No, it just doesn't work, right? The funny thing is I've seen that get out of hand. I've seen where there's like a 3 or 4 or 5 year old that still can't be away from mom and cries every time they're away from mom, right? We've seen that. And my girls worked and Callie Jo worked a couple years ago, I guess last year or whatever, at a she was in a preschool at our church, and those kids would come in. It was 4 years, supposed to be 4 year olds. Some they dropped them off at 3. This even at the church, they're doing this, and so they would come in and you give them and they'd cry. They're just so attached. I mean, you say, maybe a 3-year-old should be attached, right? And so there's kind of some of this thing. But my point is just this, that the mother is the first one that baby is and that child is in contact with. And they see that first there. But then number three, by a mother's daily presence, a child learns what wisdom is to look like. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 9. Let's just read that verse. Proverbs chapter 9. And in verse 1, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars. And so the wise mother leads her children in the way of wisdom. And so this is what we're talking about in chapter 8 and verse 32, just a few verses back. It says, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. And so the wise woman here is leading her as part of building her home. She's leading her family, leading her children in the ways of wisdom. And so it says, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. I don't think there's anything that we can offer to our children or anybody that we might have an influence on. And I don't think there's anything more than we can offer than to have them follow me. Right? We live out what God wants and we'd say, follow my ways. I mean, just think about this. Could you say to somebody, whether it's a co-worker, a neighbor, or a family member, could you say to them, hey, just follow me and do it the way I'm doing it, right? Because we should be able to. You say, well, that sounds a little arrogant, Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. You see, this is the thing. We're to live in that way, so we want them to follow. And so the wise woman guides her children in wisdom. And then chapter 9, verse 6. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. And so she guides them, that way of understanding. So the wise, number four, the wise woman may not be as loud as the foolish woman. So we looked at verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. And I know I dealt with this last week, but it's just kind of funny. Her direction, listen, the wise woman's direction and guidance isn't in her volume, but it's in her life. Listen, the foolish woman, what she has to say is loud, and it's harsh. And you know, there was this lady we knew. Her name was Kate. Kate. And so that's why our Katie does not like to be called Kate. So if y'all know, now you know. If you didn't know, now you know. But because this lady, her name was Kate, and she was the meanest woman in the whole county. She was a buck 05 soaking wet. I mean, she was nothing to her, but man, I'm going to tell you what. You did not want to cross her. Everybody knew Kate. And it's like, nah, I'm not, you know, if she wanted, she would just be loud and harsh, and everybody else is like, give Kate whatever she wants, because it's just, you know what I'm saying? That clamorous, this kind of thing. And but the fact is, she knew nothing, didn't have anything. One day I was sitting, her husband came and got saved. He came to our leap day service. We had a leap day service. The leap day was on a Sunday. I had wrote an article about it and mentioned how it was only one time. The next time it's going to be like in 50 years or something. And I wrote and sent it to a newspaper, and they published they added it into their article. So anyway, I was proud of that. It got on the front page of a, you know, like a sentence of mine. You know, anyway. And so he came to that service. He came to that service, and he ended up getting saved. And I went back to his wife. Woo, I'm going to tell you what, I didn't want to talk to her either. She was kind of scary. One day the Lord just gave me courage. You know, sitting there, and she's talking, and I said, you know, you're just putting that wall up to keep everybody away. And I started kind of just telling, I said, you know, you're putting that wall up. I said, you know, you need to see what God sees in your life. And all of a sudden, I'm just saying a few things. I'm not harsh with her. I'm just trying to be direct. All of a sudden, here she is, tears pouring down her face. I'm thinking, she is human, you know. And but, you know, my point is with this, she was just clamorous, just loud. And listen, a wise woman doesn't need to do that. A wise woman doesn't need to do this. She doesn't need to have that volume. It's in her life. And when we live a life of wisdom, we live a life like that. When we say something, our life agrees with it. People will listen to us. If you have to aggressively shout at people, they ain't listening to you because they can't believe what you're saying. So, look here, but Dean, it's not just children that a wise woman builds in a home. Number one, the home is built around the husband-wife relationship. So, the wise woman does not... Okay, I have this written down. You don't have it written down, sorry. But I missed a word. I'm like, something doesn't work there. So the wise woman does not just coexist with that fella. She builds a home with him. Okay, listen. You might say, well, what if we're not in that situation? You know, what if we're not, I don't have a home. You know, we don't have this kind of. I want you to understand, everything that we read in the Bible and study in the Bible isn't necessarily applicable to my life at the moment. Because you know what? I'm never going to be a woman. Never going to be a woman. I'm not going to wake up one morning and decide I was, you know. But here's the thing. You know what we need to have? We need to have a worldview from God's point of view. Okay? Because what we're talking about, when we understand God's truth, it helps us to understand and how to see the world, how to adapt to the world, and how to help others to see this. Listen, our whole series is this passing on wisdom. Okay? Listen, sometimes we may not be in the particular situation. You know, you say, well, I can't teach somebody if I've never experienced it. Well, man alive, that means we have to experience everything in the whole world ever if we're ever to tell somebody about it. No, we don't need to do that. We just need to know what God's position is on it. And then we can have that. So here's the thing. Number two, the second thing, the man is not designed to build a home. Okay? What I mean by that is God didn't design men to be stay-at-home dads. That's becoming a common thing, you know. I don't know if I would say common. It's becoming a thing. Because we're getting into the day and age that us guys in here, we're like the most abused in our society. If you're anything other than a white male, you're in good shape. And so there's starting to be this kind of situation where the woman is getting this, which before she was oppressed, now I guess we're making amends and, you know, we're changing who could be. And so they've said, hey, this is going to make sense logically for the wife to go because she makes more money. This makes good sense. And so we're going to look at that and say, you know, she's going to go and I'll stay home and change the diapers. Who was it just talking to me about this little Richie? The grandpa is staying at home with the kids while they've been up at the hospital. And his wife, they were our friend. His wife come home and said, yeah, the baby's running around with the poopy diaper carrying it and having a piece of pizza in her hand running around the house. I'm like, sounds like how I would take care. You know, God has not intended it. So can dads be better than that? Yes, that's not my point. The point is God has created us in certain roles to do a certain way. I mean, because guys are saying that, and they're like, what? You know, what? You know. So a man, he may construct a home, but he is not the home builder. So let's say this. What if there's not a mom there? What if there's not a woman there? Well, then, listen, there's exceptions. Sometimes the dad has to do it, the mom. It's just God knows that. Okay? By the way, sometimes dads aren't at home and moms raise kids on their own. Right? And so, okay, get what I'm saying here with this, and this goes with everything in Proverbs, everything in the Word of God. Let's don't make the exception the rule, though. Okay, God has a plan. This is a perfect plan in a perfect world. He said, listen, I want to tell you how most are going to get along with this thing. Let's don't say, yeah, but, and let's make the yeah, but the change, and so everything else that God says, we just throw away. Okay, so there's a plan that God has. Sometimes, for some reason or another, and we don't get to know that reason, God makes it work out a little different. But He has a way, and there's His purpose. And so so if the home is to be built, it's to be done by a wise woman. A wise woman. So wisdom is a crown to a man. Look at there in verse 4. I'm sorry, chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is a crown. Verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Verse 9, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Okay, so wisdom is a crown to man. A wise woman is as well. Look at chapter 12. Look at chapter 12 and verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Man. So, a wise woman is a crown. I mean, what was a crown? You know, you think about a crown, does that make me... So a wise woman makes that I'm a king. I don't know if that's the idea. I think it's more of an ornament. And it kind of maybe lifts them up. Honors, and a wise woman will do that and does that, or she makes rottenness. How important is it when choosing a mate, spouse? How important is it? We'll figure all that out later. Let me say this. Yes, I think that's true. But if you go, so my wife and I got married before I was saved. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about God. And in my ignorance, God preserved me. Okay? Praise the Lord for that. But I'm telling you, because of that situation, we had a lot of things. We had a good 10 years. No. We had a 10 years that wasn't good. It was challenging and difficult. It's only because both of our love for the Lord, trying that we got through that, and of course now God is, I think we're at that place that he's talking about. But to go into it, say, well, you know, I know it's probably not right, but it'll work out eventually. Man, that's saying, I think I'm going to go try to find some rottenness for my bones instead of a crown. It wouldn't make sense. And so we find this situation of what the wife... So number four, for a man to find wisdom is to find favor of the Lord. Chapter 8, verse 35. It says, for whoso findeth me... Chapter 8, verse 35. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Talking about wisdom. And the same is said of a wise wife in chapter 18. We're jumping around here because we're comparing these things here. Chapter 18 and verse 22. He said, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Brother Paul ran around here last week and said, Where's that thing that the Lord gave me? And he was just quoting scripture, so it's all right. But folks are like, what? But, you know, anyhow, we get a little fun. It's funny. We have a good time with some of that stuff. But here's what I want us to see here is God in the scriptures continually compares a wise woman to this thing of wisdom and what it gives. I mean, listen, I don't think you can overvalue a wise woman. I really don't. I think the scripture puts it in such a place. I don't think we can overvalue, not a woman, but a wise woman. I don't think we can be clear about a foolish woman. We're going to get to that in just a minute. So the value is compared. Value is compared to woman. So you know, we know that we're not getting. Well, let me just finish that. We'll do that right quick. Value is compared to wisdom. Look at chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 11. For wisdom is better than what? Rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Nothing is to be compared to how awesome rubies are. No. Nothing is to be compared to wisdom. Okay? This is more valuable than these things. And so it is with the wise wife. Chapter 31. Right? Psalm 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. We see this thing. He keeps giving this comparison to seeking the primary, the principal thing is to find wisdom. And then he compares the wise woman, the virtuous woman, to this thing of wisdom. And so it's. I want us to kind of close that part with this. You just can't overvalue a wise woman. What that means is two things. Men ought to not ever undervalue a wise woman. Okay? We ought to always say, listen, so valuable. But women also, you ought to never undervalue what it means to be a wise woman. You see what I'm saying? You ought to never say, well, you know, it doesn't matter. Man, it matters so much to the Lord. So much to the Lord. So, but then there's an alternative. Okay, back to chapter 14. See, this is the problem for me. I just redid this and used almost all of our time reviewing. I got a problem. Okay, chapter 14 and verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but, the contrast here, the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. We're talking about the wise versus the foolish here. So, the alternative. The foolish woman, number one, the foolish woman actually destroys the home. So what she does is she pulls it down. She actually, to the contrary, one, the wise woman builds it, but the foolish woman actually destroys it. The family, the home atmosphere. So I'm telling you, I feel a little bit better telling on my wife why she's not here. But when we were first married, we had challenges. I'm just saying, we had huge challenges. And so I had to tell her, I said, listen, don't, if we have a disagreement over something, I said, don't call me at work and chew me out for it and ruin my day. And the rest of my day, I'm going to be upset about this. And it usually was like over socks being, I mean, just nothingness. But we were young. I mean, we were young. She was 18 and I was 21 when we got married. I mean, we were young. And so we didn't know how to deal with life, let alone each other. And so we got there and I'd like, please don't call me at work. And let's get home and we'll discuss it and I'll grovel. But I had to, it's like, oh man, there was just this, and I would come home and I just, you know, after I was still in the Air Force, those early, I just wanted to come home and just take my boots off, you know, and no, it wasn't a pleasant home. It was this turmoil. And, you know, I'm not saying my wife was foolish. I'm saying she had some foolish tendencies. How about that? I feel bad. But I'm just saying this is the thing. Instead of building the home, it destroys the home. And so this is what the foolish woman does. If the wise woman is the home builder, then the foolish woman is the home wrecker. She wrecks the home from the inside. Okay, not what we think about as a home wrecker in that way. Number two, instead of building it, she neglects it. She neglects it. Look at chapter 9. Neglects it. Chapter 9 and verse 13. We read this first verse already. For a foolish woman is clamorous, and she is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their way. So the foolish woman, instead of building her home, instead of doing something with her home, she sits at the high place. She sits at the gate. She sits at the door. And can I say, watching what everybody else is doing. Watching and seeing what everybody else is doing. She is more, she is more interested in what is going on outside of the family than what's going on in it. See, this is what the home wrecker, the foolish woman, the one that destroys the home, instead of focusing on her home, her family, she's focused on what everybody else is doing. You know the easy part about that? Is if I'm looking at them, it's much more comfortable to talk about other people's problems than to deal with my own. Because it's dealing with my own problems. I'm telling you, folks, and I'm telling you, somebody from experience, it is difficult, painful, sorrowful, challenging. My kids, they're so blessed. They don't remember any of those years. Here's the one thing that my wife and I did very early on. We realized we love the Lord. We're trying to grow with the Lord, but we just had a lot to learn. It was a slow learning process, but we understood this: if we're going to argue and fight about something, we did it in behind our closed door. Our kids would never know, and we would come out like. You know what I mean? They never knew. We did that on purpose. Praise the Lord, God taught us that before He taught us all the other stuff. Come out, and man, I'm telling you, there's a lot of pain, a lot of anguish, and there's a lot of challenges, and there's things that you have to go through, and so there was this thing, but when we get, and I'm not saying that my wife did all these things, I'm just trying to give some illustration, that when you get more focused on what's going on out there, can I tell you, people are always going to be up to stuff. People are always going to be doing stupid stuff. They're going to be doing ridiculous stuff. And we got to resist that temptation to, you know, kind of just stand outside of a door. Or you hear somebody talking, hey, what are y'all talking about? You know, and I walk up, people stop talking. I don't want to know what they're talking about. I don't want to know. Get out! I'm going to get out of that thing. So, look here. Instead of being an example of wisdom, she becomes an example of foolishness. She becomes an example of foolishness. So, see, working against building a home for her family, often in opposition to it. Often opposing building a home. Actually, not just not building it, because there's one side that just neglects it, but there's the other side that actually opposes the building of the home. Wow. So number three, the foolish woman lives without the fear of God. lives without the fear of God, no thought or fear of how God sees her life. This is the foolish woman. F, we all have choices. We're going to hit these two little things and then we're going to be finished up tonight. Notice Moses' mother. Turn over to Exodus chapter 2. We want to just use these examples and we're going to close with these things. Exodus chapter 2, we're going to see Moses' mother here and her kind of example of a home builder in this way. Chapter 2, Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1 says, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to him a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. No, so listen here. Though desperate times and situations ensued, her focus was to build what she could in her children. I mean, she had a really amazing story. She went and did that and said, hey, I'm going to go. Had the daughter go and find and say, hey, we got the princess found and said, hey, do you need somebody to go take care of this baby? Yeah, go get somebody. I know somebody. This planned it out. What I'm talking about is a mother that was so concerned with the welfare of her child that goes to great risks. And there's an interest in there. Talking about one that was trying to build a home. And even, I mean, listen, they wanted to kill her baby. They were trying to kill the babies. What a desperate situation and what a mother. But then notice Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles in chapter 22. 2 Chronicles. I'm going to get there. I think it's in here. There it is. 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 2. And they went about in Judah and gathered the Levites out of the cities of Judah and the chief of the fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. I'm in the wrong chapter, sorry. Chapter 22. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. So his mother chose to exhibit evil and he followed her ways. See, this is what her mother decided to choose to exhibit, follow the ways of Ahab and all these kind of things, and decided this is what's going to happen. So we're out of time, but Think about Moses and what God was able to do with him. What little bit of time that his mother was able to put in there. And I think there was probably some other years through this time. Maybe we don't have a record of all that. But something was in him that he had the kind of character, even living among a pagan nation, that God was able to do something with him. The value of a mother that cares. So, the value and worth of a woman in God's plan, of women in God's plan, are vital. And number one, don't let anyone convince you otherwise. Don't let anybody try to say, "Well, Christian people don't care. Women, they're no. Listen, not biblical Christianity. It's vital. They're vital. Don't let anybody convince you." Number two, we may have different roles, but each has devastating and life-sustaining consequences. Each one of us, both the husband, wife, man, woman, mother, father, choose you this day which you will be. And then I say, finish with the pass on this wisdom. You might say, man, it's too late, man. I already blew it with my kids. I get it, you know. My kids are a mess, but what are we going to... No. But what I'm saying, listen, what we're also trying to develop is, I'm just kidding. We're trying to develop this here, a worldview, God's worldview. What does God say? When people want to say things, what they want to, a lot of people want to characterize God based on this or this and not on this. And we want to characterize what God really thinks based on His Word, and He makes it real clear. Father, I pray that You'd help us. Lord, help us to take this truth, this truth of what You said about women and the wise versus the foolish. Lord, help us to desire to encourage the ladies to be wise women. And Lord, for the women to desire that. And Lord, pray that You have Your own way, and we'll thank You for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.